this is Carrie from Wrap Your Head Around Silks. This is the Expecting Ariel's podcast, now with the Digitant Network. How's it going, guys? Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you are having a great week. Before we get started, lots going on with Wrap Your Head Around Silks. Keep your eyes peeled for a little holiday sale. Excited to do a fully virtual Silks Level 1 teacher training next year, 2024. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Of course, Roll It Out, our 60-minute virtual live Zoom body rolling class. We hit the mat together for an hour and we work out these aerial muscles and anything you guys happen to have going on that day. I really like to customize it for whoever shows up to class that day. So excited for that. And I got a bunch of free stuff on my website. Please take a visit. All right. Today is Hallie Jane Culpepper, and she is a mama, an aerialist. She owns Aerial Butterflies down in Long Beach, California. And she goes back in time talking about her pregnancy and such. She now has a 9-year-old, but she tells us all about that. She suffered from carpal tunnel and tells us about her experience there. And we talk about being a mom. We talk about all types of things. It was a great conversation. I'm so excited for you guys to meet her. Let's get started. You missed it. I was just negotiating with the toddler. It's usually not the best scenario.
Did you win?
Definitely not. You want to say hi?
Hi. How old is she?
She's going to be 4 in a couple weeks. And hi, Bean. Basically, I've needed to get the car like vacuumed and washed for weeks, but she hates the car wash. She's scared of it.
Oh.
So I was trying to get her to be okay with it and trying to like give some carrots, you know, like if you do this, then
right.
Blah, blah, blah. No, she drew a line. So this car is not getting cleaned today, you know. Hallie Jane, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's okay. Totally fine. Actually, we're doing quite good. We got the morning chores done, and we had a very good breakfast. So, not bad.
Nice. I feel successful if I get my child out the door without having a meltdown.
How old?
He is 9.
There you go. How is it negotiating with a 9-year-old?
It feels like failure most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does, because now as a 9-year-old, his negotiation skills are more intense.
Right.
And, you know, and he's an only child, so, and he speaks 3 languages and he's smart.
Do you speak 3 languages?
No, his dad speaks Greek.
Okay.
And so he learned, you know, from it, he does Greek school in the evenings, and he goes to a dual immersion Spanish school.
You know what? I've been hearing a lot about these dual immersion schools, and apparently it's like the shit.
Yeah. So I'm in Long Beach, and the school he goes to is over 30 years old. So we're one of the oldest programs in the state, which is bonkers because it's California and everybody should really speak Spanish.
I mean, I wish I could speak any language other than American.
Yeah. I'm like, I speak more Greek than you, but that means nothing.
You're in Long Beach? Why did I think that you were like in a different state? I don't know why I thought that.
No, we're in Long Beach. I mean, we perform all over. I tend to stay out of LA and I really promote Long Beach as for our performance side. And that is mostly because I don't want to drive there.
Right.
And the parking is horrible. But if we end up getting a gig, I just send other, you know, I'll just book it and not go myself.
I don't even leave the Valley. I go from the Valley to Burbank. I went over the hill the other day accidentally.
Yeah.
because I was avoiding traffic and it sent me down and around. And I was like, what is happening? I do not want to see Sunset Boulevard. No, thank you. So, Hallie, if you could just introduce yourself for our audience, a little bit about you, your practice, your family, and then I'll just jump in and we'll start talking about your story.
Okay, cool. So my name is Hallie Jane. I am in Long Beach, grew up here. My business is Aerial Butterflies. It's a Cirque style performance, and I'll get into it later, but also backyard aerial lessons. And then I have a 9-year-old, and he is pretty much the reason Aerial Butterflies exist. And yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about what made you start Aerial Butterflies?
So I was a performing aerialist before I got pregnant, and I was 34. I was 35 when I had him, but I was 34 when I got pregnant, and I missed aerial so much, and I couldn't practice. I see all these like moms practicing and doing stuff, and I couldn't do it because I had extreme carpal tunnel, and it was from undiagnosed hypertension. And so I'm 5'1", and I gained 50 pounds water weight. And from years of gymnastics and just having scar tissue
during the pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah. And having scar tissue in my wrist, it moved my wrist bones apart, the water. And so it caused carpal tunnel. And my hands were like sausages. I mean, I already have sausage fingers because muscle, but it just intensified it. And I would not sleep because I was in so much pain, but I missed aerial so much through the whole pregnancy. I was like angry that I was pregnant. I was like, oh, that sucks. I can't do the thing I love.
And you got pregnant on purpose or it was surprise blessing, as
no,
they say.
Yes, it's now a blessing.
Got it.
But I definitely, it was a surprise. I mean, thankfully, like I love my partner, and I tell my son, and maybe this isn't appropriate, but I always tell him, I'm like, I just really like your dad's penis. And he's like, I mean, now that he's 9, he understands more. He's like, he would be like, what? I'm like, well,
that's, you know, always good that department.
That's how you exist. That's why.
Yeah, that
exist.
Department when has to be covered. Is, you know, we have to like that department.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and his dad is one of the most loving, and he's like my complete opposite.
Well, that's difficult too.
Yeah.
I have the same. I'm such an extrovert, and my partner, this is the way we're opposite. He's a complete introvert.
Yeah.
And so our instincts are so different in some situations. So parenting-wise, it proves itself tricky a little bit. But okay, let's go back to carpal tunnel. From my understanding, carpal tunnel is when the nerve there's like a tunnel with the bone.
Yeah.
And it gets
in your hand right here. You have, it's a tunnel that all your nerves flow through. And when you get carpal tunnel, your pinky and your ring finger still feel fine most of the time, the inside of your ring finger, but it's basically all these are numb. And for me, it was numb all the time. And I would raise my hand to make the blood flow go down to release pressure, but then my hand would get cold and hurt. And then I would do this to make it warm and it would hurt. So I ended up spending half of my pregnancy. I found this, this acupuncturist who, it was like a community acupuncture where you could pay on a sliding scale, and I would text her and say, I'm coming. And basically that's where I would sleep. I would take 2-hour naps like 3 days a week. And otherwise I would like be doing lots of mountain poses all night trying to relax.
So
because it was,
I'm just trying to nerd out on this. You put on the weight. The weight somehow spread your radius and like those bones.
Yeah.
And then
it was the water. Yeah.
The water, the ulna on radius, right? And then
yeah.
because of that, inflammation squished the tunnel and your nerves got compressed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. Yeah. And to this day, it's 9 years later and I still deal with it, and I sleep with wrist guards so that it doesn't wake me up if I, you know, which I've also learned that I have adult ADHD and I sleep like this and that closes the tunnel.
Oh.
So that's why the wrist guards. But before this, I was like, I was fine. It was the pregnancy's fault.
So you started Aero Butterflies to kind of tap into that love and passion for it, even though you couldn't necessarily practice the way you wanted to.
Right. And so I started Aero Butterflies in 2016. My son was born in 2014. And I still missed it. I basically peed out all the water weight. Like I lost weight. It was weird. It was like a month and I was like back to normal. Cause it wasn't weight gain, like fat or anything like that. It was literally just like, I felt like what was the girl's name that turned into a blueberry?
Willy Wonka. I just saw a preview for the new one, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I felt like her and I was just like, you know, I was just water weight. And so basically, you know, I needed some of Olympus to take me to the stretching room. but after it was gone, I still had pain and I also had a C-section. So that's always fun. They cut through your muscle and through everything. And I remember it was like 4 months postpartum, I went and took an aerial class just to see what inverting would be like. And it was weird.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I could do it, but I felt like I was doing it with all the muscles around, like on top. And I was like, I could feel the like separation. It was so weird. I was like, this isn't connecting in like a curve. I was like, I can't. It was so weird. And so then I decided I'm going to buy an aerial rig for the backyard and then I'll just start doing stuff myself and working out. And I bought the aerial rig. You know, a friend came over. She was so excited because nobody had one in Long Beach. And we were like, yay. And we put it up and started training. My partner was like, should you have insurance on that against the house? What if it falls on the house?
Hey.
Yeah.
Bean.
Hi, Bean.
You're a pro. You've been doing this for so many years. Hmm? Can you let me finish? And then we'll do fun things.
Can you give me ice cream?
You want ice cream and then you'll comply? I'm telling you, these negotiations are all day long. Do you want a mini cone?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold please, Hallie.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, now I kind of want some ice cream.
Totally. We have those Trader Joe's little mini cones.
Oh, yeah. Those are delicious.
They're so good. And the coffee one is legitimately like, I don't drink coffee. And it's like, goes straight to my head. It like wakes me up. You're nice. Saying that, okay, so you have this outdoor rig.
Yeah, and my partner is just, does that need insurance? I was like, yeah, probably. So then I started looking into insurance. I was like, oh, insurance is expensive.
Yeah.
So how can this make me money? And that was the start of Aerial Butterflies.
Got it.
I had a friend who was doing like an outdoor community park event and she knew that I was connected to circus and she's like, do you know anybody who would do blah blah? And I was like, I just got a rig. So we did that event for free. And then there somebody else was like, oh, we're having an event. How much would it be? And I didn't really know. So I would be like, oh, this is the first paid one. So I gave him some random price, which later it's like tripled. But and we did it a holiday event in the park for families. And then it just started growing. and we did lots of park events, which are kind of my favorite to do city park events because the audience is always a bunch of little kids just going,
yeah,
you know, and I love that. I love that. And it doesn't matter, you know, how good we are at the moment, you know, and we just kind of started where I would just like invite aerialists, hey, you want to make a couple $100 and come play in the park with me? So, and that's, that was the start, and that's how I first afforded insurance.
And how big is it now?
So now, before COVID, we probably had like 3 big gigs a month. And of course, like, you know, October through January, we would have more because it's performance season. And then after COVID, and going through virtual learning and kind of having like some mental breakdown myself, I was like, I can do one a month.
I mean, that's still pretty, that's great, actually. And so it's not really a school, it's more of a performance group.
Yeah, so Aerial Butterflies, it's basically a performance booking company. So I'll book any type of circus. We specialize in aerial because I specialize in aerial. And then before COVID, I did have lessons and classes at a gym in downtown Long Beach. And then COVID happened and that closed. And I was like in my backyard and I'm like, I have a rig. And people needed outdoor things. I kept getting contacted because at the time I also had a gymnastics program through the city. Okay. And so parents contacted me all the time. But also in COVID, I was doing virtual learning with a first grader in Spanish that I didn't speak. Ooh. And my son and I went through trauma is really all I can say about it. It was not good. And we've come a long way. We talk about it all the time that we didn't like each other then, you know, and it was really hard. And so I decided, I was like, I can't do this gymnastics program anymore. I can't be around kids that age. It was just my own personal trauma. You know, it was like, I'm getting up in the morning and I'm drinking whiskey with my coffee. And that's, you know, I was like, I'm not okay. So I couldn't do the kids and the aerial. And I did reach out to a few teens that I had who were excited and came back, you know, and so I started doing committed privates. So you commit to like 10 privates and you prepay. And of course I don't, you know, I'm paying insurance. Like luckily, like our house is paid off, like everything. So I don't have like the light bills and the, you know, rent, and I don't have all that. So I can keep the prices pretty low. But you have to commit.
So interesting.
Otherwise, yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, it's also for the student, you know, they know that they're going to have a consistency.
Yeah.
You know, the drop-in is great, but not in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, drop-in doesn't work for me. Like, I need a schedule because, and this also works for me because my son has soccer and karate and Greek school and guitar, you know, and then whatever school things he has. So I make my schedule around his schedule and, you know, and it's great. I'm like, it works for me. And then, you know, I get stuff done when he's at school. When she starts going to school, you'll be like, oh.
I mean, but it's also getting up and getting them on there on time. Because I just had my one little moment of like, oh, my God, this is the way my life is going to go the next 10 years. I signed her up for like Tiny Tot Ballet. We got the leotard. We got the shoes, everything. So the second time I was going, I was running just 5 minutes late, not even 4 minutes. And I don't know what came over me. But like I would have like broken all of the laws of traffic to get there on time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I don't know what came up. Like it's Tiny Tot fucking ballet. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
But like I don't know what came over me. And I was like, oh my God, I just got a glimpse into my future. Because like
right. You're like, calm down.
It's fine. But then it's kind of like I remember being a kid and like my mom's running late and why are we late and like we're rushing and then the kid takes a million minutes to get the shoes on and get out the door and I'm like, oh my God. So, okay, let's go back because I want to talk about the carpal tunnel. You said you had some postpartum stuff. Besides that, why you had to get a C-section? Was it an emergency? What was the recovery like? All of that.
Okay, so the C-section, it was his heart rate was dropping. And when you're in there, they're moving the table, you know, trying to move him to see, but it kept dropping. And that with C-sections, those are fucking scary.
Especially if it's because the heart rate dropping, the doctor that I have on, Dr. Janae, she says when the heart rate starts to drop, that's when we do the C-section in like a minute and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, so I went into labor, and 2 hours later he was out. That was scary. I mean, that whole thing is weird. But the other thing that happened was that I delivered at a hospital that didn't have a NICU, and so I met my son for like 2 seconds through an incubator, and then didn't really get to know him because he had to be ambulanced to another hospital. And I had to stay because I had a C-section and I couldn't leave until, you know, certain things happened to make sure my system was still working.
How about your partner? Was your partner able to go to the second hospital?
Yeah, he was going there and coming back. And then his sister came and stayed with me so that he could go home and take a nap, you know, and sleep because he was going back and forth. Basically, I'm in Long Beach. I was in Long Beach, and Pete was in Anaheim. And because the doctor that was like on staff that day at the hospital I was at was actually based in Anaheim. So, you know, it was bad. And then when I got out, my son was in the NICU for 10 days. So then we would, you know, I would come home, sleep, and then go and try and learn to breastfeed him, which then that, of course, took about 4 months to get good at it. Cause I just felt like I was like, oh, this is breastfeeding to me was like the weirdest thing. And it was hard to learn and we had issues and he didn't have any tongue tie or any of that. It was just like, we had this like 10 days of like, you know, we weren't with each other constantly.
Right. Right. Oh my goodness. So did the breastfeeding end up picking up and you could do it for a while?
Yeah. Yeah. And by 4 months, I felt like we were professionals.
Oh, there you go.
And I was like, but I was like, this is taking forever and it's weird. And is he getting enough? That was the other thing. Oh, and because I had that undiagnosed hypertension, when he was born, he was 21 inches long, but 6 pounds, 1 ounce. So he was really long and skinny. And what happens with hypertension, so the umbilical cord is supposed to be like big and chunky and all that nutrients are getting in. The umbilical cord was like super skinny.
Really?
Yeah. And to this day, he has issues with food, like textures, doesn't want to eat a lot, will like down a bunch of quesadillas or steak and then not want to eat for like a day. And I think it's because he was, you know, he grew on the bare minimum.
So
it's a theory. I don't actually know if any of it's true or any of that. And I did breastfeed for 2 years and I'm, you know, and now he's like, he hasn't had a vegetable or a fruit since he was two. And I'm just like, I hope that was like something solid, but I'm like, I can't get him to eat anything. I'm like, he wants steak all the time and goldfish.
Oh my God. I love this because there are moms out there who are just in the same position and like, you know, my mom told me.
I would say, oh, you have a picky eater? Let me tell you about mine.
Well, my mom said to me recently, she's like, your dad didn't really eat any vegetables until he got married. I was like, okay, so my daughter's going to be fine. My partner, too. He eats like a 12-year-old. He eats chicken fingers, pizza, burritos.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, I once heard that I don't know why this always stuck in my head, but that Jay Leno, the stand-up comedian guy, like, never eats vegetables or fruit. He only eats meat and potatoes. I was like, he's still alive? I was like, that's how I made myself feel better about my son, because, like, and he'll go to friend's house and they're like, you want some carrots? You want some, you know, they're like trying to, I'm like, no, no, no. So I send him with food because I'm like, I don't know what they have, but he probably won't be hungry. I won't care. You know, and of course he's like a beanpole.
Is he tall?
He's getting there. I think his dad is 6 foot. Oh, okay. So, I mean, I'm 5'1", so who knows what's going to happen
there. Totally. Fun fact about Jay Leno. So the Burbank Chick-fil-A, which we go to a lot because they have Wi-Fi and they have like plugs in the walls and plenty of space to sit.
And a playground.
They don't have a playground. Is there a playground Chick-fil-A in Long Beach?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're missing out. Anyways, Jay Leno likes to go to this Chick-fil-A. And we've seen him twice, not in the actual Chick-fil-A, but driving his vintage cars and parking.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we've seen him twice, and both cars were like the best, the coolest cars I've ever seen in my life. He's wearing that denim shirt. I think he probably has 18,000 of those denim shirts. And he's super nice. He waves.
Yeah.
This is LA, just randomly seeing Jay Leno. Yeah. But
that's funny. He probably didn't get any lettuce or tomato on his sandwich.
No, he definitely did not. He just had the pickles. So even if you like try to hide the vegetables in the food, it doesn't work.
No. So, and he's like hit or miss on mac and cheese. Like he loves El Pollo Loco chicken.
Okay.
Loves it. And occasionally we'll try the mac and cheese. And through the years I've tried, like, I even got, so Trader Joe's has the frozen riced cauliflower.
Yeah.
So I got that and I tried to like mush it up and put it in mac and cheese. And he was like, what is this? And I kind of think he has like some sort of sensory processing thing. And so it's so sensitive that he just like, if there's any taste that's like, it's so like, I was raised by a mom who was like a proper coursed meal, you know, you have vegetables, you have some carbs and you have protein, like, and she made everything. Like we had a garden and she made my baby food and, you know, she made everything. So I, of course, was like, I'm not going to be that, but I want to try and give him healthy foods. And when he was a baby, to entertain myself a little bit, I found purple yams.
Okay.
And I made baby food out of purple yams to see if his poo would come out purple. This was fully to entertain myself. But I was just like, and it did, and he ate them. But now he won't, because I'm like, you used to eat this. He also used to eat like the dried mango from Trader Joe's. Yeah. He liked those. He's like, that's too sweet.
Bean loves the freeze-dried strawberries from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Loves it. You know, fun fact about poo. So I was like, I'm going to make a beet salad. And it had been a while since I'd done that, but I was like, beet salad, feta, and some like pine nuts. It was delicious. The next day I was pooping. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I need to go to the emergency room. I'm bleeding. Then like, I realized it was more purple than red. And I was like, oh.
Right, you're like, oh. You're like, yeah.
Like, can you imagine had I That's actually funny. Gone?
I mean, they have stories.
Oh, I'm sure. I wouldn't have been the first person.
It would have just been another one. Right.
There's something wrong with my colon. No, ma'am, you had beets last night. Okay. Yeah. See, this is the podcast. It's just like we are random sometimes, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Hallie Jane, what's your practice like now? Your aerial practice?
I've always been an aerial silks person only, and I was a gymnast growing up. And so I started performing basically because I told my friend who owned a bar that he needed to put in rigging and have me perform. And that was how I started performing. And now I used to train probably 3 days a week, pretty religiously, but now it's more like I keep up with where, you know, I'm 44. I'll be 45 in May.
I turned 46 this last past May, so we're about two years.
Okay. Nice. I definitely feel like I feel pain differently now, and it lasts longer. Like, I stopped drinking about 2 years ago. Wow. I stopped drinking after that whiskey stuff during COVID. I was like, oh, that's intense. But because, you know, just everything lasts longer and everything affects me differently. And, you know, now I eat things that are like going to keep the inflammation in my body down, you know. But I basically, when I'm teaching, I make sure I do about like 20 minutes before, sometimes 20 minutes after. But I teach pretty much daily, every day except for Monday and Friday. And right now we're working up for a show. So, because my backyard aerial students get to be in a show. And they're excited. Yeah, it's actually... It's a community event. I had a man send me this really cryptic email. It was just like, I have a light show and would like Ariel. And I was like, are you selling me a show or are you wanting to hire us? I couldn't tell. So I called him and I said, I was like, oh, he wasn't like hyper and sounding like a salesperson. So I was like, okay. Do you want aerialists for hire? Is it you want? He's like, well, I don't know. I just know you're located in Long Beach. And I was like, yeah. And I told him where. And he's like, yeah, he's basically a block away. And it's a Christmas light show that he puts on his house. And he's like, would you come see it and see if it's something you can add to? And I was like, yeah. And I went and it was like, you know, music and lights and
the whole thing.
Yeah. And I was like, and it's just, you know, in a nice, not a cul-de-sac, but a nice, calm neighborhood. And I was like, huh. And so last Christmas, I moved my rig there and myself and two of my other students who were more advanced did performances to it. And we basically did like all December long in the
Oh, that's amazing.
And this year... So this year, he's basically created the whole front of his house looks like a circus. And he'll switch out. So now he's putting up the Halloween lights and then he'll switch out to Christmas lights. So I called this show Cirque du Spook for Halloween. It's on the 28th. And I have students and then we have some fire friends who are coming and performing, you know, and it's just... You know, the whole city's invited. Whoever wants to come, you bring your chair. We'll block off the street. You bring your chair, put it in the street, and then you watch the show and go home.
Oh, my God, this is amazing.
Right. Yeah, and so last year when we did Christmas, and we'll do Christmas again this year, last year, like, I think CNN came, or somebody, maybe KTLA, I don't even remember. Bunch of them came and they had a helicopter up in the sky and it was great. They came in and interviewed us. We were on the news.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah. So it's really fun and it lets me, it's convenient. So right now my aerial rig is there and I'm teaching in his yard, but it's still, it's very similar to me getting up, brushing my teeth and going outside in my backyard. Now I just get up, brush my teeth and get in my car for 2 seconds.
That's like a really, I don't know if it's rare in the Los Angeles area, but like bit of community, you know, like,
yeah,
because where I live in Van Nuys, like we don't have a really big, like my community is an aero community, but it's not like a geographic community. It's not like my neighbors down the street,
yeah,
which I think I experienced when I was living in Ohio, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely, the neighborhoods are close.
Yeah.
You know, like you get to know your neighbors and create community within them. The neighborhood where he is, it's like, it's called the Cliff May Homes, which was like in the 50s, some man named Cliff May was an architect and designed all these homes. And they're kind of like these weird, like ranchos, you know, they're all very fancy. They go for a good amount of money.
Sure.
I'm just like an adjacent neighbor to them. I'm not a Cliff May person, but I'm right next door. So, but so they have like a good community within that group, you know, we all have the same house. So yeah,
I feel like for me, teaching is like the best way for me to stay in aerial shape.
Yes.
Personally, yeah. Because I don't need to go in and like do a crazy hardcore workout for 90 minutes and then focus on myself. I don't really need
and
to
you
do
know
that
what?
Anymore.
Since I've been young, I'm like, you know, and of course muscle memory. I think this is like the interesting thing. Like I've always been very strong. When I was little, my muscles were so developed. I was like, well, I'm going to grow up and be a bodybuilder because that was the only option in my head. Was like, oh, people with muscles are bodybuilders. Right. I don't, you know, it was the 90s, early 90s. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know if I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger and was like, oh, well, that's my people. I don't know. But now, like, I can, you know, even after pregnancy, like, and that 4 months, I was still able to invert. It felt fucking weird, but I was still able to do it. You know, and then as that healing happened, I got better. And my muscles more like were like, oh, yeah, we remember how to do this. And so I feel like my goal is to be able to like climb fabric and do a pull up as long as possible. You know, like if I'm 70 and I can still do a pull up, I'd really be happy with that. Because I feel, yeah. And I feel like it's very possible for me.
I feel like in being our age, like I'm not interested in having another kid and playing that DNA lottery. I'm happy with never being pregnant again because I also hated being pregnant. Not because I didn't want the kid, but I talk about it all the time. Like I just, it wasn't my jam. And so I feel like the hardest thing for me was now two full times coming back because I had broken my leg once. And had to come out completely and then go back in. And then the pregnancy. And I get why people don't want to build back up. And it's really daunting. But because it's my job, it's like I did it and I'm doing it. But not fun.
Yeah. No. No, I about 2 years ago, I broke my ankle.
Oh.
And I was like – and the realizing about how like, okay, now I'm wobbling and now, you know, but that just affects everything.
Yeah.
It affects everything. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I actually stand like this. And now I'm staying like this and messing up my left hip when my right hip was, you know, and I was like, oh, and I feel like I feel things like that more than I did when I was young. And that's the big change. I think it's more that I don't know if it's that my brain's more aware or that my body needs a little bit more time than it did before. It's probably a combo.
Yeah, getting older is so interesting because I've been talking about a lot about perimenopause because I am officially in that space right now.
Same.
I found out recently, I got the hormone test, that my estrogen is actually not in the level where I need to supplement it, which is where I thought I was. It's really the FSH, which is going up. So basically I can know that I'm in perimenopause. It's good to know that like giving me estrogen is not really going to do anything right now. So it's good to know this, but it's like the changes on the body is just so interesting. We are so aware of ourselves and to see the body change and then to figure out why and how, I don't know. I'm kind of confused by it, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, and the most bonkers things happen. Like my ears itch all the time.
Really?
And then they won't. Yeah. And I think I came across like some TikTok or somebody, you know, talking about how ears itch during perimenopause. And I was like, okay, absolutely. Like, that is weird, and I don't know why.
Well, my business partner, she was like, yeah, I'm itching my skin all the time. I'm like, really?
Yeah, yeah, being itchy.
Being itchy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, who knew? No one talks about this. At least no one talked to me about this. Like, my mom went through it and just, like, not a peep. No complaining, nothing.
Right. I'm like, or when? Yeah. When did you go through it, Mom? When?
You know, because that generation, they're like, oh, I just, you know, they suck it up. They suck everything up. And.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, when and what'd you do? Obviously nothing. Just deal with it.
Right.
By the way, I went through, I was like, okay, my Instagram is giving me all these ads on perimenopause. So let me just like actually write down the names of things so I can research. So once, you know, once you start, the algorithm kind of catches up that you're reading the ad.
They're like, oh, you're old. Here's more.
Here's more ads. And so I kept on going. And in the space of 10 minutes, I got 25 ads for different supplements, which is crazy. Yeah. So I wrote all of them down and then started researching. What I'm doing right now is there's this, I like kind of looked at all these supplements, and it seemed like this herb called chasteberry was in a lot of supplement combinations for hormonal belly fat.
Oh.
So I went and found chasteberry by itself, which comes in a bottle by many makers, and then researched how many milligrams they suggest. And that's what I'm on right now. I'm going to see what happens.
Nice.
I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like I realized, I think in the email I told you that I've recently realized like how much when I was 9, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. But I've always been able to read and write and been fine with that stuff. And my partner, he is actually a school counselor in middle school, and he's done elementary also. And he'll joke around with me and be like, it was the late 80s when I was diagnosed. And so diagnosing a girl ADHD, or at that time ADD, was really like a faux pas. You know, you don't diagnose a girl. So they're like, oh, dyslexia, we'll just give you that. And as I've researched like ADHD, like body posture has been like a huge one that has come up. And I always stand, you know, with like the S curve. And because you're standing with the S curve, you know, and then of course pregnancy made that like
your anterior pelvic tilt on your hips. You were saying, yes. Got it. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and then when you have that, your abs are stretched out. And so I've always had like the strongest abs and core ever. But I was like, why do I always have like a layer? I've always called it, especially since Pete, I'm like, well, I just blame everything on the child, you know, it's my mommy layer, you know? But as I've researched more into this, I'm like, I feel like moms after being pregnant, which destroys your body in so many ways and softens your ligaments and reforms your body. Like you have to, you have to totally figure out, okay, my body brought me forward and now I've got to suck. And like, how do I stand again? Like I just feel like the soft ligaments. And to me, like if a woman is going to go to a personal trainer or somebody afterwards, I'm like, you need to go to somebody who understands what you went through, what your body went through. Because now your posture is different. Now you're in so much, you know, like you are different. Like you just expanded. You know? Yeah. I was like, I became a blueberry and then I got, you know, but it changes the way you stand. And for me, like I've had to like really learn like how to like be conscious of what my pelvis is doing. But I feel like the more I'm conscious about my pelvis, the more it feels like my abs and, you know, the whatever I would gain in my gut, you know, with the perimenopause, it's not there as much.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
Like, I feel like it's there, but it's also, it has so much to do with my posture.
So for me, I look like, from outside perspective, like really fit, but then a little mama pooch, yeah. Right? But it is absolutely three things for me, because I have gut issues and then also perimenopause. There's a bloating element to it too. So there's a bloating element. Yeah. There's a stored belly fat where I'm not gaining fat. I'm not gaining weight, air quotes, anywhere else in my body. And it's all just going right here. If it's going there, if it's there at all. Right. And then I have always had an anterior pelvic tilt before the pregnancy.
Right. Yeah.
So now, oh my goodness, Hallie, when I try to do a camel, like the amount, and it's not even getting my back to open up. It's getting my belly button line not to get completely jut forward while I'm trying to, like, it's every single day I have to, like, let my psoas lengthen, because that's part of the problem, is shortened.
Yeah.
And then get the tilt to come back, because it's not holding without me, like, concentrating so much.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm like, now I sleep with a pillow under my knees, and when I drive, I have, like, a special seat that, you know, makes sure that I'm, like, sucking in and pushing back. I'm trying to, like, make my, you know, the things in my life, because I'm sleeping all night.
Yes.
And I will definitely try and sleep on my side and stick my belly forward and, you know, just arch full into that S curve. And, you know, pregnancy just heightened that.
Yes, I agree. For me too. And then the muscles I am strengthening the muscles, but even when I'm hanging upside down on a lira and I've got my knees on, both knees, and I try to bring my hips forward, they literally cannot. Like, I feel that tilt, and I'm trying to change it, and it really doesn't want to move that far. So I probably will be working on this my entire life, to be honest.
But I also think it's one of the things that women need to learn about, that they need to do, because so many women are like, my lower back hurts. I'm like, did you have a kid? You know, like, let's talk about how you stand. I definitely have adult students, but the teen students I have, and, you know, we're talking about things, because it's a private lesson. I tell them from the beginning, I was like, we're going to talk about your posture nonstop. And how your body's moving, and where you're putting your weight on your feet, and then the moms, you know, they're listening the whole time. And I've had numerous moms, like, ask me, well, why do you think this is? Or I'll have the mom stand up and have them, like, stand next to their kid. And I'm like, okay. And I show the kid, I'm like, look, that's genetically where you got this. But you're strong enough to correct it, you know? And I'm like, hey, guess what, mom? You need to, you know, you've been standing with your knees in, and that pushes your pelvis back, you know? So you have, you know, you're stacking with your belly forward and your booty back, and you need to stand, you know? So I go over it with them, but it's so funny. But I've learned so much, and it's, you know, it's a bit of a passion for me. I don't know if I'll ever turn it into, you know, some kind of lesson, because I get tired of those on Instagram, you know, buy my lesson for whatever. Yeah. But I do tell them, I'm like, if you're seeing a personal trainer and they know nothing about it, you need a different personal trainer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're, you know, I was like, there's a lot of things that a pregnancy changes your body. And if you aren't aware of that, and you're just looking at society as like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so, famous person who has lots of money, changed their body and they look amazing. I'm like, but that's not reality. I was like, reality, number one, they have enough money where they've learned about their body. It's like, so you can learn too.
Or they pay somebody who's good enough to just do the things. you know, a personal trainer who's good enough to make you do the things. I've got teens that are fully like, you know, they try to straddle back with their feet and foot locks and their hips are just back, like so far back. And and if they're with a good teacher, the teacher's going to be like, where's your hip alignment's going to really, really make it hard to do that inversion. Really hard.
Yeah.
And you're going to hurt yourself. You know, so, you know, that's why, you know, a podcast, spread the word. But I also think we're a little preaching to the choir on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's an important thing because a lot of teachers listen and, you know, it's like as we go into our classrooms to not just like, of course we know about this, but to remember to talk about it.
Yeah.
I hadn't talked about pelvic floor engagement with my students in a long time because it's like 4 years postpartum for me. And I'm like, oh my God, they don't even know what a pelvic floor is at this point. So we have to talk about it and what it's doing while we're doing these inversions. Right. Hallie, this was so fun.
Yeah. I know. I follow you on Instagram.
I love it.
I saw the snippet that Lena posted. I was like, oh, I totally am a mom. And aerial butterflies exist.
Yeah. I'm so glad you reached out. I really, really want you guys, if you're out there and you're like Hallie and you're like, oh, how does Carrie get people on the podcast? Literally, you email me. There's no one else check my email because I'm a party of one over here running my business. So you just email me and I put one out every week. That's a lot of interviews, you know? So we'll get it in, we'll get it done. But thank you. I'm gonna let you go and jump before this bean starts cutting up because she knows what an hour feels like.
She's a mom.
But thank you. I appreciate you being on. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Good to meet you.
Hallie Jane, thank you so much for coming on the pod. I had so much fun talking to you. And your holiday show should be coming around the corner or already here. So best of luck with that. Listeners, just check out the show notes. You can grab my blog. You could get some role class. You can get some free tutorials. You know, I'm here to serve. If you would please honor me with a 5-star rating and a review anywhere you get your podcasts, I would appreciate it so much. Share this podcast with your friends, maybe aerial mamas that you know. It helps so much. If you think you could be a great guest, just email me or DM me at CarrieWeOne on Instagram. I have to fill up a lot of interviews, so I would love to have you. Check out Greener Grass. I do that with Kelly McVeigh, also on Digitant Podcasts, and we talk about a host of things. So it's wonderful to be here with you guys. I appreciate you so much. Over and out. It's Carrie. Wrap your head around silks. This is the Expecting Podcast.